96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Deal or no deal? That's the question being asked tonight on Capitol Hill and in the offices and the homes of federal government workers. We are less than 5 hours away from a federal government shutdown deadline. The government will run out of money at midnight. But what does that mean, and how might it impact you? Well, my guests are Dr. Niambi Carter, political science professor at Howard University, Dr. Doris Sartor, national president of Blacks in Government, and D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton. She is D.C.'s congressional representative on the Hill. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you could possibly be impacted if the government shuts down tonight, give us a call. We want to hear from you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank everyone for joining me. I appreciate it. I want to go first to our Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Of course. Glad to be with you.
So what's the latest that you're hearing right now as far as where the Senate is going on this?
At the moment, I don't believe we can avoid a shutdown at midnight. However, we do have the weekend, and something could be done. Democrats are loath to go to another short term, that's what we're on now, short term congressional resolution. But I want to assure your listeners that I have been trying to take care of both D.C. residents and federal workers. You may recall that when the federal government shut down, there have been times when the D.C. government has to shut down. That's because our budget has to go over there. And that the Congress doesn't even look at the budget, but technically they have to kind of sign off on it. For the last several years, I have been able to get in the budget of the year before the next budget. In other words, last year's budget, a provision that says that if the federal government shuts down, the D.C. government will not shut down, and moreover, it can spend at its next year's budget. It will be the only entity spending at next year's budget that has anything to do with the federal government.
And that, but see, that also means, for example, that your office, you've decided if this shutdown happens, your office is going to stay open. And the mayor, Mayor Bowser, had a press conference earlier today. And because of what you just described to us, D.C. will go on no matter what happens tonight after midnight.
That's right. My office will be open, but my people will not be paid unless we're able to do what we've been able to do in the past. Because federal workers are no part of this shutdown, we have been able to compensate them for the time lost. I'm already have a bill. I'm co-sponsor of a bill to do that. Who we have not compensated are contractors. I have my own bill to compensate low-wage contractors who I just don't think can take this. Mm-hmm. But contractors generally are not included in being compensated at the end.
They weren't in 2013.
They were not.
Yeah, they weren't in 2013. Congresswoman, can we talk a little bit briefly about some of the politics of this? Because, you know, the Democrats are pointing at the president and the Republican-led Senate. The Senate is pointing specifically at the Senate minority leader. And certainly I know you're no huge fan of the president, but talk to me about the optics of what's going on right now.
Well, let's see where the American people are. By 20 points, the American people blame Trump and the congressional Republicans. So the optics at the moment are certainly not on the Democrats. Who is in power usually gets the blame. Talking about power, the Democrats don't have any branch of government. So, moreover, most of the Americans, the people who are giving this 20-point advantage, to I would guess, Democrats, are not just Democrats. They are independents who are breaking in the same way, and Republican women, not the majority, but a fair number of them. So the blame is already beginning to be laid. On the other hand, Democrats have every reason to try to hasten this along. The reason that we can't move at the moment is that although the president says he's very much for the Dreamers, we are losing. That is to say, the Dreamers are losing their status at a rate of 120 a day. If we do not use this moment to get them some status, in March, I don't think we'll get it at all. So they are on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the wall is on the table. We are not for the wall. But we could get a compromise on the wall if we could get a compromise on Dreamers as well.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the federal government shutdown set for midnight tonight. The federal government will run out of money. At issue is whether or not a spending measure, a four-week spending measure, will be able to get through the U.S. Senate. And right now, both sides seem to be holding firm. Dr. Carter, the Washington Post is now reporting that the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has set a 10 p.m. vote in the Senate to address this. So we are talking about a little more than, you know, than 2 hours. From your position, your thought process, who has the most to lose if that doesn't happen?
I mean, well, the Republicans do. I mean, they're in control of the House and the Senate. So it's always going to look bad for them if they have a unified government and they still can't prevent the government from shutting down. I mean, this means that effectively the Republican leadership can't corral their party and get them to do what they need them to do, which is deliver the votes they need. And they certainly don't have enough clout at this point to push Democrats, the few Democrats that they need in the Senate, over to their side. So I think this looks bad for Republicans any way you slice it.
202-319-7810. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. If you believe that a shutdown will impact you, or you know that it will impact you, particularly if you work for the federal government, or perhaps you may have a business that depends on the federal government, whether you're a contractor, whether you're pushing a lunch cart downtown by one of the many federal government buildings, I'd like to hear from you. Let me hear from Tony. Tony, calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Tony. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon,
hey.
Delegate and Mr. Fisher and Dr. My thing is this, and I'm a little bothered by it, and it's really making me on election day move from a Democrat to a Republican. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm in that middle B range, which means I'm considered essential personnel. I just bought a house, 2 new cars, and got daughters in college. What about them? Everybody want to worry about these Dreamers, but hold on for a second. They can go back where they came from. The fact of the matter is that what about us that are here, that are federal employees, that are essential, i.e. could be police, FBI, whatever you are, you're considered essential. You have to, DOD, DIA, you have to show up to work. Because if you don't show up to work, guess what? Now you're getting in trouble. You know, you can't take leave. So this, my thing is that this, can you all help me understand? Because I'm letting you know, it really is making me now go, you know what, everybody that's a Democrat in there, I don't trust. Okay. I'm actually starting to really wonder, and I hate to say this, I'm starting to think, like, okay, maybe I should become a Republican, switch over, become an independent.
What do you say?
And telling my daughters, they need to not be Democrats.
What do you say to that, Congresswoman Norton, when you hear something like that?
Yeah. Is go back where they came from, won't work with the Dreamers. They came here when they were 2 and 3 years old, so they don't know any country but this country. There are almost 1 million of them in the United States, and one thing we don't do is throw over some people in order to save ourselves. What we do is we insist that all those who should be taken care of are taken care of. Now, the president says that he is for the Dreamers. 80% of the American people are for leaving them here. So it's too late to come out with, okay, send them back, because the great majority of the American people recognize that they had nothing to do with getting here in the first place. And if Carter wants to become a Republican, then he is really in bad shape, because because the Republicans now are about to lose the House and maybe the Senate precisely because of what this president has spent his first year in office. Tomorrow will mark his first year in office, and it looks like he's going to shut down the government to commemorate his first year as president of the United States.
Thank you so much, Tony. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the deadline to shut down the federal government unless a spending measure is passed in the Senate. If you think it will impact you, if you know it will impact you, if you are concerned about it, if you have a question or a comment, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. So, Dr. Carter, now here's the other piece, because while the Republicans may on the face think that they may have the most to lose, isn't the reality that the bigger picture is that Capitol Hill, the swamp, as some people often call it, have so much to lose because this happened in 2013 for 16, 17 days, and it was ugly then and it's ugly now?
Well, I don't think people are going to necessarily go back to 2013. I think people will think about the here and now. And the truth is, the party in power is the party that owns this kind of fiasco. And the fact of the matter is, the Republicans can't govern. And this is what this is showing. This is a crisis of Republican leadership. Paul Ryan can't get it done. Mitch McConnell can't get it done. And Donald Trump certainly can't get it done. And I think Donald Trump really doesn't know what he believes in. And that's part of the reason why you see us at this impasse, particularly around DACA and some other things. He says he's for it, but you have his handlers like Stephen Miller around him making sure that he doesn't agree to anything that's going to look too far left because it might anger his base, or folks like Tony who think that the Dreamers, these children, this million people are going to change their children's life outcomes, and they really aren't.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, I only have a minute left, and I want to ask you, let you have the last word before the break. Are you surprised that we got here so fast compared to the way things were looking, say, 2 weeks ago when there was a thought that this wasn't going to happen?
I don't think that was a thought 2 weeks ago. I wish it were. The reason I'm not surprised is the way the president is governed and the inability of the Republicans to control their own president. So I think it's almost inevitable that we would get here. I do want to correct your caller who said he had a house, mm-hmm. et cetera. If he is a federal worker and those are the only ones who would be affected, he must not have heard me say we were able in 2013. Indeed, every time there's been a shutdown, we have been able to get them compensated so they didn't lose any money. So I don't know why he'd want to be a Republican, because it looks like a lot of people in the United States don't want to be Republicans because the House and the Senate are both in jeopardy.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts and your expertise. And I know you're going to be sitting and watching tonight, as we all will. So D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, thank you so much. And we'll be talking to you soon. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Stacy in Greenbelt, Charles in Baltimore. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lines are still open. Give us a call. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds. I'm on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the looming federal government shutdown at midnight if the Senate is unable to pass a spending measure. My guests are Dr. Niambi Carter, political science professor at Howard University, and now Dr. Doris Sartor, national president of Blacks in Government. If you have a question or a comment, if you could possibly be impacted if the government shuts down tonight at midnight, give us a call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Sartor, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir, for having me on your program.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, what are you hearing from your constituents as the clock is ticking down?
they are a little bit more concerned about this government shutdown than the ones in the past because of the current political environment, you know, the overall lack of confidence and leadership, but they're still remaining positive. They are thinking that it's not going to happen, that they will make a last-minute compromise, and they're really thinking positive.
When you say they are more concerned because of the political climate, drill down a little bit more for me as far as that's concerned. Why is now different from the shutdown in 2013?
As you know, the lack of confidence and the leadership dealing with the approval rates of Congress at 19% in December, and the, I would say, the not general participation between both parts of the government in resolving some of the current issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by the current political environment, that lack of confidence in the overall government leadership.
Mm. If there is a shutdown, let's say, all things being equal, that there is a shutdown for the same length of time as we saw in 2013. We were talking about approximately 16 or 17 days. So that's a paycheck for a lot of people. What impact might that have, even if they were or able to get their money back if the shutdown didn't last beyond that? What would happen for your constituents, those many federal government workers that are that would be impacted by that?
I would say they will be challenged, but they also know that they can talk to their creditors in reference to delaying some of their payments or reducing some of their payments, because in the past we have been received back pay when we return to work.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it would impact them in reference to their economic ability to make ends meet.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stacy calling from Greenbelt. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Good afternoon, everyone. First, I want to say I'm in response to the last caller in reference to sending the Dreamers back to wherever they came from. Let's not perpetuate the ignorance of the Republicans and those who support the Republican Party. That's number one. That's not the answer to this problem, is to send them back to where they came from just to get our government moving again. Secondly, this idea that the government can shut down is completely ludicrous. If you ask anybody from anywhere else in the world, they can't even grasp the concept that the United States government can actually shut down. That concept should not even be acceptable in this country. Thirdly, I am a federal government employee, and in response to, I believe what the doctor said, it's going to have a huge economic impact on my family. I'm a single parent. I have a college degree. I worked my way into the government. I am a GS-13 employee. However, because I support three children on my own, I live paycheck to paycheck, basically. So even if the government shuts down and I miss a paycheck or two, and I get that money in back pay, what am I supposed to do about food? There are a lot of government families in the same situation, whether it's one-parent households or two-parent households. And to be honest, we're tired of having to go through this every couple weeks or every few months, not knowing whether or not we're going to be paid, but yet we still have to go to work because I am an essential employee. It's ridiculous.
Your thoughts about that? I want Dr. Carter to jump in because I have another question for you, Stacey. But Dr. Carter, what are your thoughts about what Stacey's sharing with us?
Well, I mean, I think Stacey's exactly right. A lot of people go to federal government work because it was secure. You knew you had decent benefits, a good retirement, and you had a steady paycheck. And, you know, we're always looking, when we're talking about Black women in particular, but Black families, one paycheck away from a disaster. And losing a check or two, like she said, doesn't do anything in the meantime when you have food and essentials that you still have to provide to your family and you don't have a paycheck. It'll come, but when is that going to be? Hopefully it'll be shortly, but we don't actually know what this shutdown might look like and how long it might last, and that's not going to do Stacey and her children any good in the meantime.
Stacey, real quick, when a couple of weeks ago when a continuing resolution was passed and you knew that this kind of thing was going to come up again, kind of take me through your thinking and even your actions. Did you start stocking up? Did you start changing some of your your behavior in light of the kind of situation that we are now dealing with tonight?
Let me tell you, yes. I've even gone to the extreme of trying now to actually get out of the government and go into contracting, maybe with the federal government, with the Department of Defense, since defense spending is up anyway. May as well go that way because it's a little more secure than actually working for the federal government. And as far as stocking up, my paycheck didn't change the last time a resolution was passed. I didn't get a pay increase. So, you know, it's a little difficult to try to stock up and do those type of things, to take preventive measures when you're not bringing in more income to support doing preventive measures. I would have loved to have done that.
Okay.
You know, at this point, it's becoming frustrating to have to hold my breath every few weeks, not knowing whether I'm going to be paid or I'm going to have to go a month or, you know, one paycheck or two paychecks and not see any income. I mean, it's just extremely frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for calling in and sharing with us. And we're certainly hoping that there won't be a shutdown tonight for the sake of you and the tens of thousands of other federal government workers, not only here, but across the country. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Dr. Sartor, one of the things that Stacey said, even if she were to get out of the federal government and become a contractor, let's say she did that last year, she would still be in the same boat because, as we saw in 2013, contractors were also hit hard by that shutdown.
You're absolutely correct. And also last year, some of the contractors were having concerns because of some of the pay scales were reduced for some of the contractors. Mm-hmm. So it's bad both ways.
Mm-hmm. And I think
we have to go back to the way we used to be when we depended on our families and each other to help us through these hard times mm-hmm. and to support each other. Mm-hmm. I think that's very critical, too.
And let me say on the contracting piece, back in 2013, we did have an opportunity to speak to contractors. And while, you know, contractors have a reputation for, you know, raking in the big bucks, when something like this happens, because, you know, they may be, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days out, depending on the contract and all of that mm-hmm. kind of thing. If those things are delayed, particularly if the lion's share of the income comes from the federal government, then people are hurt.
Absolutely. I mean, and you see it not just with the federal government and contractors. I mean, you see it with universities that rely on federal monies, right? I mean, that's a big one. Students not getting refund checks, or if you're in the federal budget, like Howard University or Gallaudet or the military colleges, you're still waiting on money. So when these budget issues happen, they happen to a lot of different kinds of people.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's talk to Charles. Charles in Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Charles. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that I'm a state, Maryland state employee. I'm not affected directly, but indirectly, because we provide unemployment insurance to people who collect unemployment every week. So they're debating on maybe stopping the payments due to the shutdown so there's no overpayments. But I think that what we have to do is be more independent-minded, because I believe it's the Democrats and the Republicans' fault for this issue, because it's partisan politics, because this is an election year. And I think that because of that, they're trying to appeal to their constituents. But if their constituents, all of us, if we were more independent, they would have to do things differently. But since, you know, the Democrats wants to do the DACA thing to appeal to their constituents, and then the Republicans wants to do the wall to appeal to their constituents, you know, just to try to win the election. They don't really care about the people. All they want to do is win the election. So I think that we can't just be sold out to one party because we were taught, or because we think one side is this or one side is that. I think that we have to be thinking, okay, what have you done for us? You know, they both have their issues and they both have their strengths, but we have to decide according what are you doing for us, because they're both causing this problem because of politics,
yeah.
Not because they really care about DACA so much or the wall so much.
Yeah. Charles, thank you so much. Dr. Carter, your thoughts about what he was just sharing.
Well, I feel his pain. I mean, I think those things aren't mutually exclusive. I think people genuinely do care about the wall and people do genuinely care about DACA because he's right. They want to win elections. But in order to win elections, you have to claim credit for something. And the things you want to claim credit for are the things you promised your constituents you would do, like extend DACA or build a wall. And unfortunately, you know, this is a campaign commercial for Democrats if they play their hand right.
Now, explain that.
So what I mean is if you have a unified government from the president all the way to the House to the Senate, where they are of the same party and they're not able to do anything, then that is really a way for Democrats to talk about the poor leadership of the Republicans. So at this point, there is no incentive for Democrats to really negotiate some of the things that they really care about, like CHIP. Like DACA, with the Republicans, particularly if it means Republicans are going to take a more conservative, harder line. Really, Democrats also know that even if they negotiate with Donald Trump and the Republicans, there's really nothing in it for them. So I think at this point, the Democrats are just going to stand back and let the Republicans self-destruct.
Interesting. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Here's another piece outside of the cold hard cash realities, the politics of this. Now, President Trump was supposed to go to Florida to Mar-a-Lago for a big party tomorrow. That would be the 1 year anniversary of his inauguration. It was supposed to be his victory lap, big donors, $100,000 per ticket, celebrating his achievements during this past year. Could something that may be considered so esoteric on the surface cause him to blink so that there is no shutdown tonight? Because if there's a shutdown tonight, he may stay in town. There's not going to be a Mar-a-Lago. There's not going to be a party. The guest of honor won't be there.
Well, I think regardless of what happens, if he has anybody that cares about him around, he should not go to a party at Mar-a-Lago. It is too much at stake. I mean, yeah, maybe they have it at 10 o'clock and something happens and he'll go down there. But again, we're talking about, you know, just a moment ago, people not getting paychecks, but you're using federal monies to go to your money-making estate, right, or a golf course, mm-hmm. a resort, and you know that's so that's a Secret Service and all these other personnel that have to be there on federal monies, and you're talking about we were just a couple hours away from a shutdown. I think this is a moment where you don't need to be making victory laps. Not to mention, there's going to be a protest march. You know, all these things that are happening, you actually need to be the president. And the president doesn't need to have a party for his 1 year anniversary in office to celebrate what achievements, because we don't know what's going to happen at 10 o'clock. Yeah. There might just be some continuing resolution to keep the government open till next week. We actually don't know what's going to happen. So I don't know who his handlers are, but I would certainly say that he should not be going to a party this weekend.
And of course, that 10 o'clock time that Dr. Carter mentioned is a vote scheduled by the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for a continuing resolution. That's coming up in 2 hours and 15 minutes. When we come back, what is the message for the federal government workers from blacks in government? I'll ask Dr. Sartor that. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about a looming federal government shutdown at midnight if the Senate is unable to pass a spending measure. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has called for a vote scheduled for 10 o'clock tonight. The federal government will run out of money at midnight if a deal cannot be struck on a continuing resolution. Of course, my guests are Dr. Niambi Carter, political science professor here at Howard University, and Dr. Doris Sartor, national president of Blacks in Government. Lines are still open if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you may be impacted by a federal government shutdown, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Sartor, what is the message from your position as the national president of Blacks in Government? What have you been telling them over the past several days, and particularly today?
Basically, they're going to have to be patient, and based on, once again, the past practice of us receiving back pay and also using the beloved community that Martin Luther King talked about to start depending on each other, our families, and our churches, and also to take responsibility by becoming part of organizations that address the issues at the federal, state, and local government level, and working with our and collaborating with others on those issues that affect how the government operates.
You have
to be patient and become a part of the solution.
You have members that are also working for the District of Columbia government, the district government, correct?
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, what are they saying? Because as we discussed earlier in this program, Mayor Muriel Bowser announced today that the federal government is going to remain open and things will go on. The D.C. government remained open in 2013 as well. But is the feeling different from some of those D.C. government employees, or is it pretty much the same?
I think it's pretty much the same because, as you know, traditionally Black Americans have always embraced employment in the federal sector because it gave us that financial security and stability.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is the same. They are feeling that they still want to be a part of the government. They still want to work in that sector and even in the D.C. area where most of our members are part of the government agencies located there.
Okay. Now, we did have a caller earlier. He said he worked for state government. So those who are outside of the federal government or in a situation that in the district government, Dr. Carter, state government workers and other city government workers, how might they be affected by a shutdown?
Well, I mean, it depends on what agency you probably work in, but it depends on if you have to carry out a mission that's related to the federal government, like the gentleman talked about, unemployment insurance or provision of some kind of Medicaid or Medicare, those kinds of things. It would definitely affect how you do your job. But a lot of state and local governments are operating under separate budgets. So they might be able to stay afloat, but it depends on what state you're in. It really is. I mean, what Maryland does and what Mississippi does are not going to be the same thing. It's not going to have the same effect on those states, just depending on what your state budgets are and their ability to fund certain programs.
It's interesting. Dr. Sartor mentioned in answering my question about the message to, you know, her constituents, she's talked about, you know, depending on each other. And we were talking about that during the commercial break. Mm-hmm. Should that now be the new normal where we're going to have to make some wholesale adjustments? And what might that look like?
Well, I don't think that is just because of this government shutdown. But I think in the economic downturns that we've seen in the last decade or so, I mean, I think we've all had to take stock of what our lives look like versus, say, what our children's lives look like. This model of sort of graduating from college and getting a good paying job and just sort of going out here and living on your own and being self-sufficient is not quite what it is, given student debt, other kinds of things, employment opportunities not being the same as they were, people needing additional training. All of these things are changing the way that we live. And so a cooperative model of, say, multi-generational households, which was a norm 50 years ago, is no longer a norm. But I think it's something worth revisiting because it does help people generate the monies that they need to go out and be independent. I mean, it would be crazy if I said, oh, I'm a 40-year-old woman with a roommate. And people are like, why would you do that? That makes no sense. Are you financially irresponsible? But it's like, no, this might actually be helping me get ahead financially when you are in a situation where you don't have, say, a spouse or these additional incomes. This might be a way for everybody to kind of help each other by pooling resources and sharing living expenses, which in this city are quite high.
Is that a real discussion, Dr. Sartor, for you and your constituents?
Yes, I think so. And I'm told in agreement with her comments, it's going to be a new normal for us.
When I say discussion, take me inside some of those discussions, that new normal discussion.
For example, we're starting to do outreach programs within blacks in government to make sure that we're supporting our children. We've started a partnership with the Tom Joyner Foundation to go into colleges and to really help our youth be prepared for entering into government, which means we're doing the mentoring, we're doing a family approach, we're having them become blacks in government members at that stage and bring them through our system, telling them all of those unknown things to help them progress not only in college but also transition into some of these government jobs. So that's what I meant, more of a family environment. And then working on doing things at the grassroots level, starting with the chapter level where our memberships are, to be more supportive. Mm-hmm. And it's the different programs that we have to make it better in professional development and providing funding to assist with college, just doing those things that will help black Americans do better and be prepared.
But do you have some of those hardcore, flat-footed, plain-spoken conversations, particularly with the new members who are experiencing this kind of situation for the first time? And you know, what do you tell them when they say, uh-oh? Because, you know, there's one thing to talk about it with your coworkers, but when you're talking about it, you know, with an organization like Blacks in Government, I would imagine it, you know, that kind of conversation takes on a much more personal, dare I say, a more intimate way of looking at, you know, the job that is relatively new for you.
That is a good point. Yes, it is. And because Blacks in Government is so, what I would say, grassroots level and dealing with the members, that allows the members to assist each other and talk about some of these hard issues and help some of these, what I call young generational people coming up, understand the system. And I think that's what's important, to make sure that we cover all generations and that instead of being at odds, we complement each other and look for the way ahead to make it better for everybody in the work environment.
Okay, so here's the hypothetical, Dr. Carter.
Sure.
Let us say that there is no shutdown tonight, that a four-week continuing resolution passes. Okay, that gives us a little bit of time to breathe. But what would be different 4 weeks from now that we're not seeing tonight?
I don't know. And I think that's why Democrats have been so reticent to go for the month as opposed to, say, like a week or 10 days. I think in part because they don't see themselves compromising much more on CHIP and DACA. And so if the Republicans insist on a much more conservative approach to immigration and insist on funding for this wall, I'm not sure that a month from now we're not going to have this conversation again. I'm hopeful, right, that Republicans will maybe kind of moderate, because at this point I don't think Democrats are going to move much on this issue. I mean, it looks bad, yes, and it is an election year, yes. But again, if you're saying that I am principled and this is against our principles of care for the most of us, right? That is denying health care to children and not allowing a pathway to citizenship for these children, then, you know, I don't know that the Democrats can compromise much on this. And the Republicans who keep insisting about this wall that most Americans don't actually want, I'm not sure that a month will look different if both sides are that sort of set.
Now, you know, we've been hearing this phrase, we've been hearing this phrase, kicking the can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, we've been hearing it. What seems to be the big obstacle to a budget instead of the CRs? Is it just too much, you know, for Congress to bite off? Are they just going to continue to choke on it, and so they're just going to continue the CRs and these temporary spending measures?
Well, I mean, I think part of the problem with budgets is they're extraordinarily complex. We're talking about two or three issues when there are hundreds, thousands of issues covered in a budget. I mean, we only are talking about the sort of hot take things, right? Defense spending, immigration, that kind of thing, the border wall. But there are loads of things, transportation, climate change, right? Like that kind of stuff is in the federal budget. And the truth be told, there are very few in Congress who actually read the entire document, right? So folks are really focused on the things that matter to them, to their constituents, and the things that they want to see. And so, yes, in part, I think the budget process is just huge. It's not impossible. I mean, we've passed budgets before. We clearly know that we can do it. But I do think the sort of balkanization of Congress and even in the general public, I think that's the real obstacle to passing a budget, is that both sides want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And if both sides want to win and they feel like they're right and this is the right thing to do, it's very difficult to move that conversation.
And let me say, as we close out this conversation, you said something that just struck me. Let us say in years, even decades past, issues about climate change, the environment, mm-hmm. and some of those issues that generally administrations, Republicans and Democrats agree on, this administration is very, very different. And so even the things that may have been considered pro forma mm-hmm. in administrations past now are up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
And could, you know, end up as a major speed bump or even a wall, if I may use that term,
absolutely.
You know, towards establishing and approving a budget. Nevertheless, Dr. Doris Artur, National President of Blacks in Government, thank you so much. And good luck as you continue to support your members and your constituents during this difficult time. Also, Dr. Niambi Carter at Howard University, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Harold.
And D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Friday, January 19th, 2018. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Iran Waller, and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now for the connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World.